Okay. All right. Got Galatians chapter 1. All right. Galatians chapter 1 through 6, the whole letter. I've called that the believer's bill of rights, and I think you'll see why in just a moment. One of the outstanding characteristics of the United States of America is that we are a representative republic. As Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It is the American people that choose from their fellow citizens individuals to represent them in governmental positions. We're going to be doing that on Tuesday. And it's very important that we pray for these kinds of things, as I mentioned in Wednesday night's message. But we are a nation that is based on the rule of law. And that law is from a literal interpretation of the United States Constitution that was ratified in 1789. And then there were the first of 10 amendments that were ratified just a little more than 2 years later in 1791. Galatians is the believer's Bill of Rights. It really is a revolutionary view of life. It is an emancipation proclamation from the spiritual viewpoint of bondage from all forms of religion, as well as just legalism. And it is an introduction into the freedom, the liberty of life in Christ. Life in Christ is what is called the Christ life. And as I said, I want to take just 15 or 20 minutes, and I want to do an overview of the book of Galatians. And to do so, I want to answer briefly five questions. And we'll do that after we pause and pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time that we have. Thank you for this book, this letter of Galatians. Would you give us clarity of thinking? Would you cause us to see the beauty of the Christ life, this life that is laid out here in the book of Galatians? This is what Jesus died for. This is what is the inheritance of every believer. This is what Jesus called life more abundantly. And I pray that you'd make it part of our life, that it might be real and functional in us as believers, we pray in Jesus' name. That is for his glory. Amen. First question I want to answer quickly is who? By that I mean, who is this book addressed to? The book of Galatians is addressed to a number of churches, not just one church. Galatians is addressed to a number of churches that was planted by the Apostle Paul and his missionary team during his first missionary journey. We don't have time to go there, but that journey is in chapter 13 and 14 of the book of Acts. They would include cities like Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. That's who this book is written to. Now, where were these churches in Galatia? Galatians are the people. Galatia is the region. Now, Galatia was a Roman province that was located in Asia Minor. Asia Minor then is what today is modern Turkey. And Galatia was located in what is today north central Turkey. And the name Galatians or Galatia is derived from the name of the Celtic tribe that conquered that area. They were called the Gauls. And the Gauls were from France, actually. But after they conquered, they moved eastward and they settled in this area in Asia Minor, in north central Turkey. and thus it their name, Galatia, from the Gauls that conquered that region. They sacked Rome in 300 BC, and then they continued to this area that was called in Paul's day Galatia. Now, getting to the heart of things, why was the book written? That's the third question. Why is the book written? Well, initially, the letter to the Galatians or to the Galatian churches was a celebration of the grace gospel. That is a gospel of grace. It's a celebration of the grace gospel that these people in those churches had entered into and were enjoying a spirit-filled life, and they were experiencing and they were manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. But something happened. Something happened. There were some legalists that came from the city of Jerusalem to that area, and they brought a perversion of the grace gospel. And they began to mix some Jewish legalism into the gospel that these people had believed. And as a result, they taught these Galatian churches that you could only become godly by observing certain Jewish rituals, such as circumcision for the men in the congregation, but other things as well. And of course, this is what fomented what became that Jerusalem church council that is recorded for us in Acts chapter 15. This preceded all of that. So that's why this letter was written. What is this letter about? Let's answer that fourth question. And it's simply this. Paul wrote this letter as a rejection of that heresy that holiness is achieved by keeping Jewish ritual laws. This letter to the Galatians is written not to unbelievers, but of course to believers. It's written to churches where believing people gather and worship the Lord. It's written to believers, and so it is a mistake to think that the theme of the book of Galatians is justification by faith. That's not the main theme. That is not to say that Paul does not talk about justification by faith. He does so. In the first chapter where I've had you turn, I want you to drop down to verse 4. And I want us to read verse 4 together. Let's read it in unison. You ready? Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And who is it that gave himself for our sins? Well, verse 3 says, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself for our sins. Now, that is justification by faith. But the rest of the verse really, I think, sets the theme for the entire letter, the rest of the chapters of the book, where it says, and that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That is sanctification by faith. That's not talking about justification by faith, simply the forgiveness of sins, but justification by faith, that godliness is not by keeping the law, that's impossible, but that godliness is by grace. Godliness or holiness or sanctification, whatever you want to call it, is achieved by dependence upon the Lord. And that's really what the book is about. Now, the fifth question that I want to answer and end on is how. How does this work? How does sanctification by faith take place? You see, because folks, this is where a lot of Christians get hung up. Salvation is about getting to heaven. But salvation is not just a future in heaven. Salvation includes a liberation, a freedom right now from the control of the bondage of this world. That's what he's saying in verse 4, to deliver us from this present evil world. And let's face it, the rest of our days on this earth is in this evil world. We need something right now to save us. We need salvation here and now in this present evil world. We need deliverance. And that's exactly what he says we have in Christ. And that's what this book is about. It's about sanctification, being delivered from the ways and the evil bondage of this world that we live in. It is that as believers, we realize and we feel the presence of evil all around us, and we suffer the pressures to conform and to lower our standards below what the Bible teaches, and the pressure to believe the lies that the culture speaks to us all the time. And it does through the media and through influential people like politicians or educators or famous people, Hollywood movie stars and sports heroes. All of these influential people in our culture are teaching us to believe lies. And so the pressure is on. And the danger is to imagine that we can deliver ourselves from this present evil world simply by going to church like we did today, or becoming involved in church activities or serving the Lord in some aspect. We are in the danger of convincing ourselves that that's how you get holy. That's how you sanctify yourself. That's how you have godliness in your life, by going to church and being involved in church activities and serving the Lord in a local church. That's a misnomer. What Galatians tells us is that this bondage that we are set free from in chapters 5 and 6 specifically is found in the fact that Jesus himself, Jesus the Messiah himself, lives in you if you are a believer through his Spirit, we call the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, reproduces his life in you. Think of it this way. The lawgiver, God, the lawgiver gives his law to you, and the law keeper, who is God, keeps the law in you. That's the teaching of the book of Galatians. And it's beautifully summarized in perhaps one of the most famous verses of this little letter, chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead spiritually. I am crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, but I live. I'm dead, but I live. Yeah, I'm dead to self, but I'm alive to Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this body, in this flesh, in this body, I live by faith or by dependence upon Christ in me. And that's the message of Galatians. That's what Christian living is. That's how you're sanctified. That's how you become godly. That's how you live a holy life. It is Christian living that is relying upon the Holy Spirit to reproduce in you the life of Christ, which is manifested through you in the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? So the believer is a liberated person. The believer is a person that has true spiritual freedom. We are delivered from the bondage. We're delivered from this present evil world. And the fruit of the Spirit is consistently manifested in the believing life as you rely upon the Spirit of God in you to reproduce his life in and through you. That, in a nutshell, is what the book of Galatians is about. If you'll read it that way, if you'll read Galatians as an explanation of sanctification or holiness or godliness, whatever you want to call it, that is attainable by faith alone in Jesus, by reliance or dependence on Christ alone, you got the message. That's exactly what it's about. It's not about the ritual that these legalistic people were bringing to them, that heresy that corrupted the gospel. It's a grace gospel through and through. Reminds me of, I don't know if it's true or not, but just a little boy that his father sent him out in the yard to remove all of the rocks that he found in the yard so they could have good, smooth lawn. And the little boy was doing, he was putting the little rocks in his bucket, but he came across a big one that was stuck and he couldn't budge it. He worked at it and he couldn't move that rock at all. And he came in with his little bucket and told his dad, I've got these, but I can't get that big rock in the yard. And his dad said, well, have you tried everything? He said, I've tried everything. He said, but you forgot one thing. You forgot to ask me to help you. And his dad went out and with little effort removed that rock out of the yard, and the job was complete. Fact of the matter is, there's a lot of big rocks in the Christian life that you and I can never even budge. There is bondage in our lives. There's areas of bondage. There's areas of sin that we have to face up to and admit in our life that we cannot get victory over ourselves. It's like a huge rock to that little boy. We can't even budge it. We can't even make it wiggle. We can't move it. It's impossible to us. But we have a Heavenly Father who has sent His Spirit to take up permanent residence in us. And He has the power to overcome anything that keeps us in bondage and in defeat. But we have to recognize that. We have to then admit our inability and then depend upon, remember, I can't. Because I'm dead. It's Christ that lives in me. We have to take hold of His life and depend upon Him, rely upon Him to give us that victory over and to manifest where maybe at one point there's hate, His love. Where there is just sorrow, His joy. Where there is turmoil, His peace. It's that exchange life all over. Just as you exchange your sin for His forgiveness, you exchange whatever bondage, whatever sin that is there that you are seeking victory over for His ability, for the opposite of what you are experiencing. You get the opposite. You get the remedy from Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we perhaps take the time to read the 6 chapters of Galatians, that we would see it maybe in a different light, that we would not simply see it as putting forth the basic truth of justification by faith. That's Romans 1-5. But rather, sanctification by faith, that we are not only delivered from sin in the sense that we have eternal life and the hope of heaven, but we are delivered from the very power of sin. We have victory over it because it is Christ that lives in us and we can rely upon His ability in all of our weakness and inability to defeat the bondage of this present evil world that we are in but are not but are not to be of it. We just thank you for that. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the optimism. Thank you for the blessing and just the joy that all of that brings to us when we know it and then when we apply it and see it to be proven true in our experience. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.